What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of What the Fuck the Gun Show. Oh, wait. Did I already give away what most of the topic's going to be tonight? Shit. Kat, correct me.
We're just regular What the Fuck, possibly with some guns.
Charlie, you like guns, right?
Love guns. Wow.
Well, before we get into guns, and it's relevant this week, but before we get into guns, let's get into...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is going to be the only kind of fun one we talk about tonight. FBI Director James Comey just said that because of the FBI's stringent zero-tolerance policy against pot, they're unable to hire any anti-hacking computer techs anymore. Seriously, they're saying basically everyone who is good enough to work here is a pothead. So the FBI has a zero tolerance policy. We can't hire them. We need to think this through. Kat first, since she's the non-pothead on this panel.
You know, I totally get why they won't hire potheads, because anything that, I don't know, like, could potentially mess with your brain, you could spill secrets that you're not allowed to spill, but this is sort of, they shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, this kind of reads to me like the Twilight Zone episode with Burgess Meredith. It's like he finally has all the time he needs to read his books. They are Burgess Meredith. They have finally eradicated all the potheads, but now there's, like, nobody to program the computers, and there's nobody to converse with about Doctor Who or what have you.
Because the thing is, they are actually hiring because this is part of the anti-hacking squad. So these are people who it would be their job to stop, like, the break-ins at Target, or just this last week, eBay had 128 million passwords stolen. This would be the job of these people with the FBI mandate to stop hackers. Problem is, they're all potheads, so the FBI either has to do one of two things. Either just say, okay, the zero tolerance thing, we gotta rethink this whole thing, or how do we find hackers that want to work for us that aren't potheads? I know it's a generalization. Isn't pothead and hacker kind of synonymous, or am I just being way too prejudiced against that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of a generalization, because I'm a stoner, as you guys know, and I don't know shit about hacking computers. So it's definitely not correct with every example.
I didn't say it goes both ways. I just said most computer hackers are also potheads, not most potheads are also computer hackers.
Well, I think there might be something to that, though, because I know that whatever your brain is wired for, smoking pot diverts all units to all power to the shield. Like, whatever your brain is wired for, like, for me, it's, like, writing jokes and drawing comics. When someone like that smokes pot, all the attention is diverted to that area. So if someone is into computers, I can see how smoking pot would eventually make them, like, an FBI-quality hacker.
I mean, that kind of shit's important. It's just also really important for, you know, your government to bring on people who can keep state secrets, especially when they could potentially lead to, you know, the downfall of every American's bank account.
Dude, like on SpongeBob, I was seeing this thing. I did something just like that. You did? I've said too much.
Okay, you know what, Josh? At this point, you might as well, like, put on some blackface and do a tap dance. Like, that is such a stereotypical stoner.
Excuse me, Mr. Stoner. I believe you've told me you used to get high and watch SpongeBob to see the center of the universe.
That no more than someone else. Like, no more than a drunk. Like, that was my whole point. Like, what Kat said is correct. Like, you're going to want to hire people that are not likely to divulge any secrets in a moment of intoxication. That is a legitimate concern, but no more so than someone who drinks. Like, if someone gets drunk, they're just as likely to spill secrets as they would be if they were stoned.
Anyway, there's also the legality issue of where pot is legal and where it is not legal, and you can't hire somebody to be an enforcer of some kind, of any kind, if they commit crimes.
So you just change the FBI office to Colorado.
I don't think that's how that works.
That's not how that works? Damn it. And here I thought I had all the answers.
I'd be willing to try that.
We're going to move from that and having fun to what happened this weekend and the larger picture involved. Are you guys aware of the Elliot Roger massacre in Santa Barbara, California, that the day we're recording this is about a day and a half old?
It's kind of hard not to be aware of it. It's kind of filling every channel and every news space available.
I'm not very up on this one. I just started to watch the video that you sent me, and I just read, like, the Cliff's Notes, if you will, that someone had put on Facebook. But I do know that this is some, like, supervillain shit. Like,
oh,
this,
yeah.
Like, this is almost cartoonish evil in a person.
Oh, yeah. It's Elliot Roger. He's the son of the second unit director on The Hunger Games. And you know that's going to come into play sometime with the media here. I'm actually surprised that that's actually kind of one of the lower echelon things I've seen on some of the channels lately. He's 22 years old. He had an apartment in Ilsa Vista, California, and he's a college student. And he went on a rampage, four separate crime scenes, shooting up sororities, any person he could come across. He shot or wounded 13 people. Right now, they have not released how many people are dead, but there are a few deaths involved, including his own. He shot a cop. He hit a bicyclist with his car when his gun jammed. He had legally purchased weapons, and he had a manifesto. He had this YouTube video, which I'm going to play. It's 7 minutes long, but you people have to hear this to understand what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to play the video in a minute. You can hear all the audio. He basically goes on a rant about how he is going to teach the world what it's like to be him, because girls will not date him. He's a 22-year-old college student who's still a virgin. His dad is sort of famous, and he cannot get a girlfriend. So he's going to, and I'm quoting, teach them, unquote, what it's like to be him. Just take a listen to this, and then we'll be back.
Hi, Elliot Roger here. Well, this is my last video. It all has to come to this. Tomorrow is the day of retribution. The day in which I will have my revenge against humanity, against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I've hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires, all because girls have never been attracted to me. Girls gave their affection and sex and love to other men, but never to me. I'm 22 years old, and still a virgin. I've never even kissed a girl. I've been through college 2.5 years, more than that, actually. And I'm still a virgin. It has been very torturous. College is the time when everyone experiences those things such as sex and fun and pleasure. But in those years, I've had to rot in loneliness. It's not fair. You girls have never been attracted to me. I don't know why you girls aren't attracted to me, but I will punish you all for it. It's an injustice, a crime, because I don't know what you don't see in me. I'm the perfect guy. And yet you throw yourselves at all these obnoxious men, instead of me, the supreme gentleman. I will punish all of you for it. On the day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them. While they throw themselves at these obnoxious brutes, I'll take great pleasure in slaughtering all of you. you will finally see that I am, in truth, the superior one. The true alpha male. Yes. After I've annihilated every single girl in the sorority house, I'll take to the streets of Isla Vista and slay every single person I see there. All those popular kids who live such lives of hedonistic pleasure while I've had to rot in loneliness for all these years. They've all looked down upon me every time I tried to go out and join them. They've all treated me like a mouse. Well, now, I will be a god compared to you. You will all be animals. You are animals, and I will slaughter you like animals. I'll be a god, exacting my retribution from all those who deserve it. And you do deserve it, just for the crime of living a better life than me. All you popular kids, you've never accepted me. Now you all pay for it. Girls, all I've ever wanted was to love you and to be loved by you. I wanted a girlfriend. I wanted sex. I wanted love, affection, adoration. You think I'm unworthy of it. That's a crime that can never be forgiven. If I can't have you, girls, I will destroy you. You denied me a happy life. And in turn, I will deny all of you life. It's only fair. I hate all of you. Humanity is a disgusting, wretched, depraved species. If I had it in my power, I would stop at nothing to reduce every single one of you to mountains of skulls and rivers of blood. And rightfully so. You deserve to be annihilated. And I'll give that to you. You never showed me any mercy, and so I will show you none. You forced me to suffer all my life, and now I'll make you all suffer. I've waited a long time for this. I'll give you exactly what you deserve, all of you, all you girls who rejected me, looked down upon me, and, you know, treated me like scum while you gave yourselves to other men. And all of you men for living a better life than me, all of you sexually active men, I hate you. I hate all of you. And I can't wait to give you exactly what you deserve. Utter annihilation.
So, this is a 7-minute rambling manifesto from a crazy person. And I say that in the fact that he legally purchased all of his weapons. He has been in mental institutions. His family warned police that he was unstable. No one stopped him from buying his guns. Why? Why is someone like this able to legally purchase the weapons he used?
Because some people in America think that it is their God-given right to own a gun, and that everybody should own a gun, and those are the people who don't think about consequences.
I think he bought those guns because they were available. They shouldn't be.
But see, here's the thing. Why would having more gun control be a bad thing? To keep guns out of the hands of people like Rogers. Because they are already, I mean, there are every right-wing website, all the commenters on CNN and whatnot, all over Facebook, everyone is already You are not going to take my guns! Gun control is censorship of my Second Amendment rights! Why is gun control always equated to gun removal? They are not the same thing.
Extremely conservative news outlets want people to think the same thing. That they want you to believe that someone is going to come and take your guns away, and it's just not possible. And short of you committing a crime, you're not going to get your guns taken away. It's just not going to happen. Even if a politician promises it, it's not feasible. It would cost way too much money. Otherwise, I bet somebody probably would have tried it already.
Also, the fact that, and yeah, I'm going to kind of go against my own argument here, it is your Second Amendment right to own a gun. Reasonably own a gun.
I don't know that I have anything to add that's new since the last time we talked about this, but I think that there are way too many guns available to way too many of the wrong people. It's not even a matter of opinion. What I'm focused on is the fact every shooting that's happened in this country for the last ever would not have happened if it were more difficult to access a gun. It's way too easy. It's way too easy to get guns legally into the hands of fucking psychotics like Elliot Rodgers.
That's the argument that they always throw at you. I'm seeing it everywhere already. Why should this one incident stop legal law-abiding citizens from getting guns? My point is, it's not! Gun control will not stop legal, law-abiding citizens from getting guns. It will only make it more difficult for illegal citizens, non-law-abiding citizens, to get guns. Why are they so against this, then?
I have no idea why anybody would be against this. It would be considered gun control to put more effort into making sure people are not homicidal and crazy before they can buy a gun.
But Charlie, this is the same country. The smart gun now exists. It's a gun that can only be used by its user. It has a radio-controlled watch that you have to wear with it. And if the watch and the gun do not correspond, the gun will not fire. So that way, you cannot have the gun taken from you. If your kid finds the gun, they can't shoot themselves. Guess what? Gun nuts are opposed to this because somehow a smart gun steps on their Second Amendment rights.
You ever been listening to something on Pandora and then it just stops working for no reason?
I don't listen to Pandora. I've never been into Avatar.
Different Pandora, but I see where you're coming from. But that's just listening to music on the internet. That is not getting robbed and putting all your faith into a fucking glorified Bluetooth connection. That's not what we mean when we say gun control.
Pretty sure I watched a James Bond movie with that in it, and that seemed to work out okay for James Bond.
That actually was in Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen. I'm just now remembering
that. That actually was in Dread too. Remember when he tried to use Anderson's gun and it kind of blowed his hand off?
I mean, in Shoot 'Em Up, the guy that had that on his gun was Paul Giamatti. He was the villain, and it didn't work for him.
But then, why are gun control advocates against the smart gun? Because I mean, we live in a gun culture. I mean, hell, at the RNC convention earlier this year, Mitch McConnell, all he had to do was come out on stage and hold up a gun, and he got a standing ovation for just holding up a gun like, gun! Why do guns blind us? Because Roger had three semi-automatic handguns with him. He had a Glock 34 and two Sig Sauer P226s with him. And when he was killed, he still had 400 rounds of unspent ammunition just waiting for him. This mentally unstable person. Why in the hell would this not be the exemplar of what gun culture leads to?
The amount of murders and incidents like this that take place are... hate to be that person, but are relatively small in number compared to the number of guns that are legally owned. That being said, these incidents are creeping in number in increasingly horrifying ways as media coverage becomes more widespread. And so there's all of this outcry that you can't start gun control just because of the media is overblowing this issue, the media, blah, blah, blah. I think a lot of the blame that the people who don't want all this gun control, they can just throw it out on the media saying, hey, it's not really as bad as it sounds. And the media is just blowing this out of proportion.
No.
As the media often does.
I don't think they're blowing it out of proportion. For instance, one of the idiotic things I've seen all over the net today is, you know what would have stopped this? Well, the people he was shooting at had guns too, then they would have just killed him. Because more guns is the answer, right? If everybody had a gun, then no one would ever be in danger from a gun, right? No, I've seen that movie. Wasn't it called The Road Warrior? Seriously, if we armed every citizen, do you really think that would stop gun violence? Or, I don't know, make a rise in gun violence.
Definitely cause a rise in gun violence, because there's no way to arm every single citizen. First off, it's just impossible. There are too many people who are unstable or incapable of doing it responsibly. It would just be impossible. For example, you can't arm children. That would be really, really fucking stupid. So first off, you can't arm every citizen. So immediately this whole argument is thrown out the window. You just can't arm every citizen. And if you tried to, there would have to be exceptions. And then immediately you're ruining everything. Like, it's just not possible. But if you did arm every citizen, then just think about every time that you've gotten mad and thrown something. Like, yeah. You ever just have a shitty day at work and you come home and your TV remote, the batteries are dead, so you chuck the remote across the room. Now, imagine that somebody with a shorter temper than you is pissed off and has a gun on them all the time. And we are just, like, at any given time, we are one person's bad mood away from getting shot everywhere all the time.
Exactly. And it even goes to, we're going to talk gun culture for a minute, and then after the break, we'll come back and talk the NRA. Did you guys see what happened to Chipotle this week?
Oh, yeah. Holy shit.
Well, Chipotle has respectfully asked that people stop bringing assault weapons into their restaurant. Bunch of gun nuts were holding a rally. They came in with their assault weapons. Of course, the Chipotle employees kind of thought they were being robbed, which is not an unreasonable reaction, I think. And so they issued this statement. We are respectfully asking that customers not bring guns into our restaurants unless they are authorized law enforcement personnel. The vast majority of gun owners are responsible citizens, and we appreciate them honoring this request. The display of firearms in our restaurants has now created an environment that is potentially intimidating or uncomfortable for many gun owners. Unquote. So guess what? Chipotle is the villain in this, according to the media. How dare they tell people they can't walk around carrying assault weapons into restaurants? Oh my God!
And these aren't like small little weapons that, say, an officer might carry, you know. These are guns half the size of the people carrying them, if not larger. These are guns that people kill other people with. Like, no shit. If these people walked into my restaurant and I had a gun, I would have fucking shot them. Because I would have felt like the lives of every single person in that place were in danger. I would have called the cops. First thing.
Well, I think the monster on Lost is the best visual equivalent of the amount of smoke that was being blown up the ass of the gun community in that statement from Chipotle. They're meeting you halfway, gun nuts. Come on, don't be such dicks.
They're asking nice.
Yeah, and if you need to carry an assault weapon at all times, there is something wrong with you. You should not fight for your right to do so, because it comes off as fucking crazy. If you need to be able to kill someone at all times, especially when you go get a burrito from Chipotle.
Chipotle not wanting people carrying guns in their restaurant means they're anti-American. I actually saw that on Fox. Anti-American. I won't even get into the double entendre of them being Mexican food. That's I won't even get into that. But that they're anti-American because they're not welcoming people bringing guns into their restaurant.
Yeah, I can totally understand that not wanting people holding tools that are strictly used for death and destruction into a restaurant. That's totally un-American if the only part of America we cared about was one specific amendment. And that's honestly, that's all they do care about. People, gun nuts, people who, you know, demand their right to carry whatever size fucking firearms they want into any place. They literally only care about the Second Amendment, and they don't care anything about anybody else's right to feel safe.
You do realize that one thing that they don't realize, a well-regulated militia
is
what the Second Amendment protects.
I've just totally given up any hope in that second half of a fucking sentence, because obviously America doesn't care enough about that second half of that fucking sentence.
Yeah, I'm thinking of all major uses of the word militia in the past, 20 years or so. I don't feel incredibly safe when I think about that word.
Just the word militia. Well-regulated is kind of an oxymoron to a militia, doesn't it? Those two things don't kind of go together, do they?
It's best said with a German accent.
We have a fucking army, and that's why we don't have militias anymore. Because we have a fucking federal whole sheet deal going on, and we don't need militias anymore. They don't really exist anymore. You can't have a well-regulated militia when you don't have militias. We have police and we have the military, and that's what took the place of militias. If you want to look at it in one way, that whole Second Amendment is just bonkers, because we don't have these things anymore.
America spends more on defense than, like, if you took the top 25 list, America is number one, and they spend more than the next 24 countries combined, most of which are allies. America spends more on defense than anyone. They have the least need for well-armed and regulated militias. This is just overkill. It's people that don't feel like people without guns, because guns have been romanticized and glorified so much in this culture that there's just way too many idiotic fucking people that buy into it. It's ridiculous. There's no changing the mind of people. But I would like to point something out just to make sure that if there are any gun nuts listening to your show, Josh, I want to make sure they take something away, specifically with the Chipotle case. If you protesting is identical to armed robbery, your side is wrong.
It's so true.
We're going to take a break after that, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about how we got into this predicament.
Yeah. folks, I am Hart D. Fisher. Yeah, we're going to take a break from all the gun control talk to talk about something a little different. And of course, Josh Hadley is with me, and we're now in the middle of Hart Attack. Josh, have you read this article in The Guardian about this new report from the UK that details that more than 40% of domestic violence victims in their country are male?
I don't know if that would apply as well to America. In England, somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Well, I'll tell you, you follow in right to what they're saying and what I've been saying all along. Campaigners claim that men are often treated as second-class victims and that many police forces and councils do not take them seriously. Quote, male victims are almost invisible to the authorities such as the police, who rarely can be prevailed upon to take the man's side. Their plight is largely overlooked by the media, in official reports, and in government policy. For example, in the provision of refuge places, there are 7,500 for females in England and Wales, but only 60 for men. Yet, 2 out of every 5 abuse victims is a man. They're saying that they believe that those numbers might even be larger than that because men are much more likely to not come forward due to the stigmata of saying, hey, I'm being abused or I'm being hit by my woman. And I will say, Josh, here in America, I would be willing to bet that it's higher because in my own life, and as you've heard me on the show on these segments here on What the Fuck, since the very beginning of me coming on, have I not discussed the rising tide of female violence on men?
Yes, you have. I also want to point out stigmata. So they have wounds on their hands from Christ.
No, it's the idea of you're being, no, you know,
no, it's because
the stigma.
Yeah,
stigma. Yeah, I used the word wrong.
You said stigmata, and there's no way I was not going to let that pass.
No, I know. You got me. Whoops. Well, here's their stats, all right? The data from the Home Office, and I'm getting this from The Guardian, okay? This is from TheGuardian.com. And the data, the official statistical bulletins from the British Crime Survey show that men made up 40% of these victims each year between 2004 and 2005. And in 2008 and 2009. So since 2004, they got all their numbers. And in 2006, men made up 43% of all those who had suffered partner abuse in the previous year. And then it rose to 45% in 2007, 2008. But then it fell in 2008, 2009. And then similar or slightly larger numbers of men were subjected to severe force in an incident with their partner, according to the same documents. The figure stood at 48.6% in 2007, 48.3% the next year, and then 37.5% in 2008. That shows you that the abuse is, it's really neck and neck. And I have a lot of stories, and I have seen women assaulting and battering men. And in fact, I have been assaulted when I was a kid by somebody in school. I had a girl jump me in a line leaving the class. She didn't like a joke I said, so she jumped my ass. As a man, you're told, never hit a woman, never hit a woman. Well, I'll tell you, when that woman was kicking my ass, I fought back. Didn't matter that it was a woman punching me in the face. We were kids, and she was punching me in the face, and you got to defend yourself. And that's a big thing with this issue is they drum it into your head nonstop. Never hit a woman. Never hit a woman. Well, I say to you, men, if that bitch fucking pops you one, you call a cop. Because in our society, they don't allow you to defend yourself. If you're a man and you defend yourself with a female assailant, you're looking at a lot of trouble when the police show up. Because they're going to go after you first. And I'm seeing it all over the place. One of my people that worked at Boneyard Press, his girlfriend liked to get him drunk and then beat him up. She would get him drunk so she could beat the fuck out of him. And she even videotaped some of this shit. And the next day when he wakes up with bruises all over him, she's like, see what happens when you get drunk? My other fucking friend had a girl take a baseball bat to his car, all of his cars, and take out the windshield because she didn't like something he had to say. And we're seeing this in the media nonstop. Didn't we just recently have a movie, a mainstream, big, funny movie, where 3 women, including Cameron Diaz, go and destroy a man's life because they're upset that his dick didn't stay in their pussy, that he was cheating on them, so they felt that it was okay to ruin his life just because they don't like where his dick went? How about you break up with the asshole and find a better man? They're telling you that it's okay for this to happen. It's in this movie, and it's supposed to be ha-ha funny. Or how about the First Wives Club? First Wives Club. Oh, the First Wives are going to get even. They got divorced. Their husbands got successful, and they helped support them. And then in the end, all of a sudden, they went and got revenge and ruined all their lives. What would people say if they did that movie and they switched it and it was 3 guys?
It would be
a woman's life.
It would be misogynistic then.
Yeah, then it's misogynistic. There is a war on men happening right now. There is definitely a war happening, and they're trying to get you to doubt what you say. They're trying to get you to be aware. And Josh, Even Joe Rogan on his Twitter is going, oh, I don't know if these numbers are right. Oh, I don't. Right there, you've got Joe Rogan, a comedian I really like, and a macho dude doing the UFC commentation. And he's going, oh, I don't know if those numbers are right. Well, tell you what, Joe Rogan, they're right. And they're worse in America because I have been watching my entire life a growing rise of female violence on male. And in fact, my friends that work in the school system have flat out told me there's been a rise of violent kids attacking teachers, even little kids, because people are not being taught tolerance of other people's viewpoints. You tolerate their viewpoint. You got some asshole tells a joke at work you don't like. Hey, you didn't like the joke. Go back to work, dumb fuck. Quit being in everybody else's business. But getting back to this domestic violence issue, this is a real thing. And it's something I've been talking about for a very long time. It's an issue that I have seen really destroy some guys. Some guys have really been destroyed by some women, and it's really sad. And so I would say to you ladies out there, you have no right to lay your hands on your boyfriend or your husband because his dick went in somebody else's vagina. You don't own that dick. If the guy's cheating on you or pulling some bullshit, dump him. Find a better guy. Get rid of the fucking dick. You do not have a license to attack and batter men because you're a woman. You don't. You do not. We are not allowed to beat the shit out of each other. It ain't right. We as adults and as human beings need to learn to communicate with each other a little better. And we got to do a better job in the media of handling this issue of violence on men. And it's happening like crazy and it's getting worse. And guys out there, I got to tell you, I really advise you, if your woman strikes you, call a cop. The first time, the second time, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Call a fucking cop. Teach them what it's like. And if the cops make fun of you, stand tall for being victimized. Do not allow yourself to be victimized twice. Got to stand up for yourself.
Into this position. Let's go back to the Rogers shooting for just a moment. The father of one of the victims has an incredibly telling statement, which I don't want to say I love it because it's a tragic statement, but he sums it up perfectly. Quoting Richard Martinez, whose son Chris was killed by Rogers. Why did Chris die? Chris died because of craven, irresponsible politicians and the NRA. They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop? Unquote. That is a perfect, perfect quote that sums up how bad things are right now.
I would like to point out one thing right off the bat, though. If you're trying to talk sense into the gun community, you can't have Martinez as your last name. It's an ugly fact, but you're not going to talk sense into any conservatives if your last name is Martinez. I wish it could happen, but it's not going to.
He's absolutely right. This is, it's like I said, it's people who value the Second Amendment over the lives of other people. This is just a horrible tragedy that just sort of highlights so much of what's wrong with our country. And the immediate backlash is conservatives going, this isn't a problem. This is a one-off incident. And we're like, no, it's really not. It's all over the news all the time now. And it doesn't seem to matter. And this blows my mind, but it doesn't seem to matter how many innocent people, women and children, everybody, innocent people die every single fucking day because we won't regulate guns more efficiently.
That's kind of the point, though. They don't care, because Martinez was perfectly right in calling out the NRA and the spineless politicians, because in a recent gun control amendment, keep in mind, they weren't taking your guns away from you. It was a gun control amendment, which would actually just make it, ironically enough, it would make it easier for law-abiding citizens to get a gun and harder for crazy people to get a gun, or illegal people, or people who cannot legally own a firearm. It recently had 68% of Americans that wanted stronger gun control. It failed by a wide margin. Why? Because the politicians are in the pocket of the NRA. The NRA has a estimated membership, and this is an inflated number, but 3,156,151 members as of 2012. Now, that number is inflated because that is also counting inactive memberships in the NRA, people that maybe got a membership 20 years ago and have never renewed it. So that is a highly inflated number. The 2012 U.S. population is 313.9 million. So slightly inflating that, that is 314 million people. That means the NRA is speaking for less than 9% of the American people that get to override the 68% of American people. Why is that the way this works?
I'm not sure why. I don't think that should be the way it works. I don't know. I don't even know what the root of the issue is. Like, I don't even know what to address first. I don't understand. I can't comprehend how people are so convinced of the need for guns. Americans own more handguns than any other country in the world. I don't understand where that comes from. I don't understand what the constant need to be able to kill somebody is all about.
It's certain parties, politicians, particularly ones who make money from this sort of thing, convincing the American population that they are constantly, consistently, always, at all times, in danger of being assaulted or victimized in some way, and that the only solution that they have is to kill that other person with a gun.
Gun statistics show that more people are killed by accident, by misidentification, or simply the kid who found the gun under daddy's bed. More people are killed like that than are killed in the commission of a crime. So doesn't that say that the accidental deaths outweigh the legitimate uses for a gun of, you know, some crazy person breaking into your house or whatnot? My larger question, why does the NRA possess so much power? Because the politicians are terrified of the NRA. Seriously, every time we have one of these shootings, some politician starts going, you know, hey, we need to have more gun control, and the NRA steps all over them, throws a whole bunch of money at their opposition. The politician who wants gun control is usually squashed pretty quickly. Why does the NRA, who, as I pointed out, the numbers speak for themselves, speak for less than 10%, just under 9% of the U.S. population, why do they get to make the laws? Isn't that the complete antithesis of everything that America stands for? Isn't America supposed to be for the people, by the people, not for the lobbying group because we decide what's for the people? Or am I weird on that?
No, it's for the people with money, by the people with money.
You've got 3 million people, keeping in mind that that's an inflated number, 3 million people deciding what 314 million people get to do.
Because they have the money, therefore they have the power. It's that whole whatever percent, you know, the tightest number of people who have the most money ruling over the lives of everybody who doesn't.
Well, I think the low membership in the NRA doesn't really indicate influence in any way, I don't think. Because look at what an NRA member is. That's someone who is willing to take gun safety classes and then be on a national registry. I think you'll find that James Holmes in Aurora and the gunman at Sandy Hook and this guy that we're talking about now, they don't strike me as the type that would be willing to be on a registry. So I don't think the total memberships of the NRA in the country reflect the percentage of the country that is just has a fucking rock hard erection for guns.
I would go out on a limb and say most people who are actual NRA members are that law-abiding citizen part that I support.
Look at how low that number is now. Of all the people that have guns, the total memberships in the NRA, that represents people that are willing to be safe about it.
And I think part of the NRA's problem is that it's run by crazy people. And probably most of the people who are in it are probably mostly decent. I've had less than pleasant run-ins with, like, random people on the street who are NRA. But, you know... I live in the Midwest. There's racism, and there are always people wearing NRA hats. I'm just saying.
But here's the thing. Now, for whatever reason, all the numbers I'm getting are from 2012. I guess it takes time to calculate this because my NRA membership numbers are from 2012. The U.S. population numbers are from 2012. And the number I'm about to read from the ATF is from 2012.
Well, I think it's because a lot of them were expecting the apocalypse to happen. So they just didn't bother keeping track of shit beyond that.
So according to the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in 2012, there were approximately 300 million guns in the United States. Remember what I said about the population, 314 million people. That is a shockingly high number. Now, take into consideration that the military has only about a million of those guns, and law enforcement only has about 750,000 to a million of those guns. So that means, ballpark, 298 million guns are already out in the hands of your average everyday citizen that is not a member of the military or not a member of law enforcement.
Those are also people that are not required by occupation or any other reason to have a gun.
Keep that 298 million approximate number. Now, even though the NRA number is inflated, let's talk about the 3,156,151 registered NRA members as of 2012. So let's knock that number out. That's about 295 million guns in the hands of people who don't even feel like the NRA is their kind of thing. That's scary. You know, I keep talking about the Civil War coming, and I usually meant that in sort of a social Civil War. Look at those numbers. It might be a civil war, huh?
Yeah, I think that's maybe not all of what drives it, but it's definitely a part of it. I mean, people are just fucking scared of everything. I mean, people were like this before 9/11, but after 9/11, there seemed to be a hell of a lot more of them. People are just terrified. I'd like to know what the root of that is, but I'm not sure. I mean, some of it is media coverage, but I think a lot of it is just that's an American value. Like, there's enough people that value guns over other people's comfort and safety. I don't know where it comes from, but that's an American thing. And I think that's just part of living in this country.
I mean, it's got to be because I just can't think of any other country that is as obsessed with something that is literally destroying the country as America. I mean, we are pretty fucking obsessed with guns, even though their sole purpose is for destruction.
Exactly.
I think that's actually a really accurate reflection of the U.S. We are obsessed with destroying ourselves, not even that slowly.
I guarantee you, I'm going to be criticized for going against gun nuts here, even though I'm using math from, you know, such nutball sources as the NRA, the U.S. Census, and the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. They're going to say, yeah, well, those numbers don't reflect reality. Why do you think people who, ironically enough, are part of these numbers, why they're so uncomfortable when you come at them? Isn't the whole thing that you have a gun that you're willing to be attacked, whether it's figuratively or literally? Why do you think they always try and deflect that?
I think there's a lot of good people who own guns, and they see an attack on any gun owner as an attack on themselves as well. And I know some gun owners. I don't know that many. But I know plenty of them, and I live in the Midwest, so practically half of my coworkers are gun owners of some sort. And, you know, but they're responsible human beings. And I really think that you can't choose to see every single criticism of a gun-related incident as a personal attack. If you own a gun, you have to recognize that there is inherent danger in the situation, that that gun can be taken from you and used against you. And unless it's a smart gun, but I don't know anybody who can probably afford that. I think rational people are capable of differentiating between a criticism of something that they're into, you know, a hobby or something, versus a criticism, like a personal attack on themselves and their culture, you know. And if you can't separate those two things, you probably don't need to own a firearm, because you are probably not mentally stable or healthy enough or mature enough to be able to be allowed to use a firearm.
Do you think the media plays into this, whether it's the Fox News media for guns or the MSNBC media against guns, where you have things like this clip here?
In other news, a local 8-year-old accidentally exercised his Second Amendment rights yesterday when he blew off his head with his father's semi-automatic rifle. The fatal incident is being hailed by gun rights activists as a victory for America and the Constitution.
Now, that clip I just played was from the Onion movie. It was pure satire. Yet it almost didn't seem like it, did it? Why do you think satire and the media, when it comes to guns, there's almost no line anymore? The thing I totally love is, last year, there was a memo going around on professional stationery, everything, of course, it was scanned on the internet, about how the governor of Vermont was making everybody, the cops were going to go into your house and register all your guns against your will. This went around all the right-wing websites. It was on professional Vermont stationery, everything. Of course, it was all false. So the media was trying to whip up, they're trying to take away your guns so they could get less gun control. Then at the same time, you've got MSNBC, who is always doing things about how every time one of these shootings, they've got one of their idiotic talking heads spewing his crap about how everyone should have their guns taken away. This isn't a right or a left thing. It happens on both sides. Why do you think people immediately believe either one? Why do you think so many people believed the governor of Vermont was going to take and register your guns? At the same time, so many people believed MSNBC's idiotic spokes models when they were talking about why guns should be taken away.
The media, particularly these two sources, the major, obviously extremely biased news sources, they're preaching to the choir. They're telling an audience of people who already agree with them exactly what they want to hear.
And I think that's how the numbers grow. Someone sees a report on MSNBC, gets it in their head that all guns are evil. They get fucking jazzed up about it, and they go and tell everyone they know about it. And that's how stereotypes get started, and that's how these major news outlets know who to fucking preach to. I mean, it's just a horrible system in place for guns. But I would like to reiterate one thing. Josh, I think it was about a year ago we were talking about gun control, and I came up with an amendment to the Brady bill that I think would solve a lot of problems. I think that instead of the background check and the waiting period and everything like that, you should be able to buy a gun if you will take a shot in the leg from that gun. Now, there can be a doctor there to pinpoint exactly where you should be shot to where it will not be fatal, but I think that should be the one requirement for gun purchase, and I think shit would clear up pretty quickly.
I guess my larger question is, why does everyone not check their facts? For instance, the Vermont thing that I saw passed around every piece of social media, and I'm not just talking right-wing websites, every piece of social media I subscribe to was passing this around. We've got to stop this. We have to stop. If you live in Vermont, you've got to get your governor out of there and stop this. Not a single one of these people decided to, I'm going to see if this is actually true before I go and spread it. And I think that, because that happens more with these gun nut things on either side than it happens on anything else, that, oh my God, this is exactly what I always feared. So that means it's gotta be true.
Media playing on the fears of people who they know exactly what they're afraid of, because they've spent all of their time and effort and money on making people afraid of these kinds of things. And so, you know, it's easier to get your fast cash, your money, get your ratings or whatever, now with a really juicy sounding story, and you can just apologize for it later if you bother to do it at all once it's been, you know, revealed to be fake. It's just the quick ratings and the money is way, way more convenient than the truth.
If you're the kind of person who would immediately believe that and not bother to check whether it's true, you shouldn't have a gun.
Well, there's nothing crazy assholes love more than to feel justified. And I think there's more money to be made in making the crazy ones feel less crazy than making the non-crazy ones feel safe.
Isn't that the whole purpose of this show for us?
Yeah, pretty much. We're doing our part.
Well, we just like to listen to ourselves talk.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I mean, hell, according to one comment, the three of us live in an echo chamber, and we are part of the problem that we bitch about.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, that aside, just focus on the quality of my voice. This is like just a velvet tongue going down on your ear, pussy.
On that note, all right, where can we find Ear Pussy?
You can find Ear Pussy on Twitter at Charlie McMullen, Facebook, and www.geekjuicemedia.com.
And Kat, I'm just going to be respectful and say, where can we find the cat?
Because if you would have made any other comment,
I'm being respectful and fending off a sexual harassment lawsuit.
and fending off having to find a new co-host.
Hey, I respect you.
I saw where the joke could have gone, and I wasn't sure if you were going to take it or not.
And okay. I think the fact that I didn't says how much I actually do respect.
Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at LabyrinthCat and on Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And you can also find me over on ThatGuyWithTheGlasses.com for my other show, Nerd to the Third Power, under the podcast tab.
And you can find me at 1201beyond.com, GeekJuiceMedia.com, and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Try not to shoot anybody tonight, guys.
For the children.
For the children. For everybody in the street, right down and right. Kennedy's shattered head hits concrete, right down and right. Dying by the bottom and dying by the stairs. From Jackie Rose, Texas is an average when your husband is dead. Texas is an average when the big up is dead. Texas is the reason that the president's dead. They gotta suck, suck, jack and suck. President for everybody.
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.